Airlines from coast to coast. John B. Kennedy speaking. I'll return in a minute with comment on the news of the day.
The American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations bring you John B. Kennedy, well-known commentator, with his personalized analysis of the news. But first, America urgently needs help in her hospitals. Today, the nation's hospitals are caring for a record-breaking number of patients, and they're seriously handicapped by a shortage of nursing and auxiliary personnel. Two out of three hospitals in the country have had to close beds, wards, and operating rooms. Many nurses are greatly overworked, and many have to do non-professional tasks, thereby cutting down the number of hours of nursing care per patient. Today, hospitals urgently need graduate registered nurses. There's also an immediate need for non-nursing personnel. Young women between 17 and 35 can also help America meet this critical hospital need by taking a student nursing course. Inactive Red Cross nurses' aides can help by returning to duty. Now, here is John B. Kennedy with the news.
Right now, the strike front looks a little better. That Lancaster PA transit strike that caused citywide work stoppage in a bustling community of more than 60,000, that one's over with wage increases granted to the bus and trolley operators. And here a post office lurks throughout the country politely asking for a raise they haven't experienced in a long, long time, and of course they cannot go on strike. We can see how the steel strike vitally affected other leading American industries by the fact that the Dodge plant in Detroit, the truck plant, had to shut down and lay off hundreds of workers, 2,000 of them, because the assembly lines ran out of drive shafts made by a Cleveland Steel Company, whose workers were out on strike. In Pittsburgh today, the CIO, United Steel Workers Wage Policy Committee, will meet to ratify new wage agreements and get the fabricating plants into line. While in Detroit, there seemed prospect of the General Motors strike, now 93 days old, being settled. Federal negotiator James F. Dewey put it this way, substantial progress. But there's a milk strike affecting deliveries of that vital food to 400,000 families in Detroit. Bad news is always getting mixed up with good. Although households get a break today with the announcement by the OPA that household furniture, kitchen cabinets, dinette sets, porch chairs and other such pieces will return to market at prices in line with those charged in March 1942. And women will be allowed this spring elegant sleeves in their new styles, while men's suits are still so scarce that if it keeps up much longer, we'll have to wear one-legged pants. A surprise witness before the House Military Affairs Committee brought smack out into the open a blast that has been rife of criticism in the Army rank and file. He's Brigadier General H.C. Holdridge, who was formerly a West Point instructor and, before he retired, Commandant of the Adjutant General School at Fort Washington, Maryland. General Holdridge said that the officer caste system in the United States Army was preserved and promoted at West Point, and he objected to universal military training because, he said, the officer system tends to absolutism and totalitarianism. But the dilemma lies here, that if other countries, yes, we might as well say what we mean, Russia, insist on universal training and of maintaining the largest standing army in the world, the United States and the other democracies have to take care of themselves. It's the lesson of history, unfortunately, that while preparedness may prevent war, it quite as often provokes it. There was a striking instance of this just before the World War, some years before the World War, when Hitler first made his threats against Poland, while Marshal Pilsudski was living and running that country. Pilsudski was a very tough old soldier, and he told Schicklgruber back in 1934 that if Hitler and the Reich wanted war, they were going to get it. Hitler was unprepared, so he backed down. Later, when Hitler had what he wanted to defeat Poland, and that sufficiently corrupted certain Polish appeasers in high places, he went to war. And he crowned aggression with hypocrisy by making a pilgrimage to Marshal Pilsudski's tomb, probably to make quite sure that the old marshal was quite dead. Privileges for officers are always a sore point in any democratic army, although democratic army is almost a contradiction in terms, because an army must be disciplined, as any military service must be. And while discipline means classes, it should not mean caste. What fed up most of the boys was the manner in which distinction of rank was carried into recreation areas. They didn't mind it in combat or training. and the officer's only sign was shown around far too much. And that's rather ironic when you took a look at the battlefields and graves and saw final democracy in action and glory. But the American army, with all the complaints, was relatively democratic. Far more so, for instance, than the French or even the British. There is still a bureau in Paris, by the way, for the restoration of honor to French soldiers slain in what is known as the décimation, as penalty for mutiny in face of the enemy. This was a very pretty rule by which every tenth man in a selected French regiment was shot without regard to his individual innocence or guilt. For 25 years, relatives of these men have been striving to have the names of the men cleared, some with success. But the harsh despotism of their officer system had its effect, so tragically, as France came to realize, when fighting morale collapsed, when Germany again attacked. Representative May, chairman of the House Military Affairs Committee, promised an end today to public hearings on universal military training, while Joe Martin of Massachusetts, a minority leader, wants the president to open negotiations with other countries with a view to banning conscription. Well, that would be the best way to solve it. But we'll never get the agreement, I'm afraid. For again, after bitter experience has shown us that Germany twice gave the runaround to such restrictions against conscription after agreeing to them, when she was beaten by Napoleon and also following the last war. The Germans organized their youth clubs and glider clubs and so built up the nucleus of an army and air force that almost shattered the world. He who gets slapped on one cheek and turns the other cheek in this so-called civilized world invariably gets belted on both. Is your announcer for a minute when I'll return.
How would you like to pay $300 for a pair of shoes? No, not a pair of golden slippers, just a common, ordinary pair of pumps or brogues. Wouldn't appeal to you, would it? Well, as incredible as that price sounds, you just have to hop over to Europe or the Far East to pay it. You see, such fantastic prices as this have grown from runaway inflation. And inflation can run away with prices here in America. That's why we've all got to get on the job now and fight it before it gets an even stronger foothold in our economy. Don't squander money. Start budgeting it sensibly and investing all you can in U.S. savings bonds. Be sure you aren't tempted to violate price controls. Many items are still limited, and it's very human to compete with a neighbor for them by bidding up prices. By fighting inflation today, you'll be speeding America into the prosperous, stable, post-war economy that she has set her sights on. And now, John B. Kennedy continues with the news.
A minor Indian mutiny broke out near Bombay today, although it isn't minor for the Indians and British involved. It reached the machine gun stage when Indian crews of 9 warships revolted. Reuters, the London news agency, later reported that a truce had been reached, but details are lacking. There's also a native outbreak of Indonesians on Manado Island, northeast of Java. Indeed, it seems now, ironically, that in the Orient, the Oriental people most peaceful are the Japanese, who stirred up the rest of the revolution. Russia's again at odds with the Western allies over Trieste, which Yugoslavia, that is Tito, the Balkan branch office of Moscow, wants from Italy and will probably get. In Korea, General Hodges, the U.S. commander, is having a bit of trouble about news correspondents. TASS, the Russian news agency, wants its correspondent, Anatoly Varashovsky, to get into southern Korea. And Hodges says okay to that one, providing the Russians admit American correspondents above the 38th parallel, if they don't become too parallel with vodka the way it flows along with the Soviet armies. In Nuremberg, Germany, the Russians again let the Nazi war criminals hear something the other allies had overlooked. The looting of European cultural centers by Nazi commissions that actually hijacked one another in carrying out their wholesale burglaries of pictures and other art treasures. Hitler himself personally stole the priceless Gobelin tapestries from the Drashin Palace in Prague. The companions, Mr. John D. Rockefeller owns here. Hitler did that in 1939. We know how Goering gorged himself on stolen goods. From France alone, 40 million quarters of champagne were stolen. The Russians have done the most businesslike job of all the prosecutors at the Nuremberg trials, and it might be a good idea to let them finish the business. But the Russians haven't turned out so well in their clash with Canada over atomic or radar secrets being divulged by Canadians to Russian diplomats in Ottawa.
The Moscow press today is quite ill-tempered about Prime Minister Mackenzie King's revelation of arrests of Canadians in Canada, not Russians. It said our Russia had recalled its military attaché from Ottawa because of his admitted improper conduct. The Russian press says further that what Russia learned from the Canadians was trivial, of no consequence, and had already been printed in scientific surveys. Then, if it didn't amount to a hill of beans, what are they making a mountain out of a molehill for? And why did Moscow recall an important diplomatic officer? All these unpleasant little episodes do not make insuperable difficulties. People here almost froth at the mouth and howl warmonger at you if you point out that the Russians are a trifle hard to get along with, sometimes. Nobody but an irresponsible idiot would want to work up to a war with Russia, especially after we know what they can do in the way of fighting. But the Pope made plain in his allocution to the College of Cardinals what's in many minds just now, when he condemned the march of militarism, which is subjecting entire peoples against their wills, and India and Java are just as much examples of that subjection as Poland or other Russian expansions. If we recall that it was Russia in the modern era that originated the idea of a United Nations organization, we can readily see that we can readily do business with Russia, if they don't want all the business. Not being much of a prophet, this may be wrong, but with 100 years of peace, judging by Russian resources and Russian capacity to develop, Russia might become the greatest industrial community on earth. But to yowl like bilious wolves, as the Russian press does, when all Canada did was to exercise her right over her own nationals to arrest and question them on suspicion of espionage or something more serious, that is hardly the way to promote peace and understanding. It's like the guy who threw the overalls in Mrs. Murphy's chowder just to start some excitement. He did. They threw him in next. The United States is going to grant full independence to the Philippines this year, whether the islands want that status or not. Now, there is a shining example of guardianship rather than imperialism. But imperialism was a fashioning burglary when burglary was internationally respectable and the Dutch, for instance, could swipe part of America from the Indians and then the British would swipe it from the Dutch. Now they build homes for guys like that who have those curious ideas. They call them penitentiaries. And it doesn't help our faith in human nature so very much to read today how in New York and other big cities, hotel clerks in hotels so crowded that even with rubber roofs they couldn't accommodate their milling would-be guests. But the clerks fall victim to one gag after another. One's for a guy to go in a wheelchair, pushed by a lady, his daughter. And he gets a room through sheer sympathy, when it promptly turns out to be a high jumper. Another gag is for young women to plead for shelter for themselves and their babies. The babies turning out to be fairly accurate reproductions of the same. Wax dolls. But democracy does march on. Here only this morning, at some affair in London, a cornerstone laying or something equally portentous. The last cornerstone laying was when Butch Bevan and One Round Wyszynski did it. A news photographer, with the urgency of his craft, was climbing over and under everybody to get an angle shot of one of the princesses. A pair of striped pants was in the way, so the news photographer slapped one leg and said, "Get out of the way, George." And George got out of the way. It was King George. "Thank you. This is John B. Kennedy returning you to your announcement."
We hope you've been remembering the programs we present over most of these stations on Friday nights. For example, Woody Herman calls on you with his famous band on the Woody Herman Show. That's a half hour of music to soothe any listener. If you're a mystery fan, there are mighty good pickings there, too, because we've got the exciting This Is Your FBI and Sheriff shows. For comedy, you'll enjoy Alan Young, a man with 100 problems and difficulties that are hilarious. And for a fascinating human interest story, listen for Chester Morrison. For the men, there are fights for Madison Square Garden. So it's an evening for all the family, Friday nights, on this station. Tune in early and stay tuned late for good radio listening on the American Broadcasting Company. Try us tomorrow night, won't you? And listen again tomorrow to John B. Kennedy with his personalized and individual analysis of the news. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.